All right, so I'm gonna know when we're.
You are.
Great. Will you? Eric, you good then if we just start?
Yeah.
Good evening, everyone. We're gonna start tonight's meeting. I ask that we all rise for the pledge to the flag.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I ask the clerk to please call the roll.
Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Present.
Dr. Enix.
Present.
Ms. Kwiatek.
Present.
Ms. Leone.
Ms. Rupp.
Dr. Van Wert.
Present.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Present.
And Mr. Cologne.
Present. So before we get started tonight, I'd like to announce the addition of to tonight's agenda, communication related to a zoning map amendment application. I will ask the clerk to read communication 6G.
February 2nd, 2023, zoning petition signed by Kevin Surfas of Surfas Development and Acquisitions requesting an amendment to the city's zoning map involving 119 Technology Drive. The current zoning for this property is industrial redevelopment. The request is to change the zoning classification to become part of the adjacent central business district. The proposed development, if zoning is granted, is a 240-unit, six-story apartment building.
Thank you. And moving on to the public hearing, prior to consideration of tonight's regular agenda items, City Council will conduct a public hearing to receive public comment on the request for the intermunicipal transfer of restaurant liquor license number R-18119 from Everything is Beautiful Incorporated at 665 through 669 Northampton Street in Easton, Northampton County, to 29 Tremblay Drive, Bethlehem, Northampton County, in Pennsylvania. This is a public hearing. This public hearing is for informational purpose only. We won't be casting any votes during the public hearing. And then in connection with the public hearing, there is one document, a December 19, 2022 letter requesting an intermunicipal transfer of liquor license. This letter was read as a communication during the January 3, 2023 City Council meeting. Public hearings are conducted as follows. I will recognize a representative of the applicant to discuss the request. Then I will turn to members of council who will have an opportunity to make comments or ask questions regarding the application. And then finally, I will then recognize the public for comment. The public hearing is called to order. I'll start by recognizing attorney Theodore Zeller III of Norris McLaughlin to make a presentation on the proposed intermunicipal liquor license transfer.
Good evening. Actually, Anthony Bricka here on behalf of the applicant instead of Ted Zeller. And I brought a representative. This is Michael Todd. He's VP for Finance and Administration at Lehigh University, and the applicant's a wholly owned subsidiary of Lehigh University. So we're going to walk you through what the request is, and then we have a few exhibits that I think will help orient council on to what we're requesting and where it would go. So the applicant is CUC Holdings LLC, and as noted, it's requesting an intermunicipal transfer of restaurant liquor license R-18119 to the property located at 29 Tremblay Drive in Bethlehem. That's the Lehigh University University Center, if you're familiar with the campus. It's roughly in the interior of the campus towards the center. And it's currently undergoing significant renovations to become the Clayton University Center. CUC Holdings is a wholly owned subsidiary of Lehigh University. And the reason we're requesting the intermunicipal transfer is because we cannot locate a liquor license in Northampton County that was already in the city. So the one we were able to locate, as noted, was coming from prior owner Everything is Beautiful, Inc., which previously used the license in Easton at 665 to 669 Northampton Street. The sole purpose of the hearing is to determine whether allowing the transfer at the proposed location would adversely affect the health, safety, and general welfare of the community. To provide a little more context on what the university is going to do with this license, They're planning to operate an on-campus restaurant and pub at the University Center. This will be a full-service restaurant with an American pub-style menu and limited alcohol options. So that's the purpose of getting the R license into the city. I'm going to hand out a few exhibits that I think will help orient council onto where everything is and what we're requesting. So these are marked as A1, A2, and A3. At it, you'll see that if you look at A1, that's just a campus map of Lehigh University, and we've highlighted the University Center just so you can see which building it would be going into. So it's towards the middle of campus. It's not really adjacent to any public property or property that's not owned by Lehigh University, so we did a search, and as indicated in our application, there's nothing within 500 feet that's not already owned by Lehigh University. Exhibit A2 is just a diagram that depicts within the University Center the area that would be licensed. So you can see it's identified as a pub, and it's in the highlighted section. So it would basically be a bar area, a seating area, and then a kitchen behind it, all of which would be licensed under the liquor license if it's allowed to be transferred. And then A3 is just a very preliminary depiction of what it'll look like when it's completed, just to give you an idea of what the university is planning to have in there and what it's going to look like. So with that, you should have a pretty good understanding as to where it is and what we're trying to do. In terms of what they're going to do with the license, the university is planning to only sell beer and wine for on-premises consumption, so they're not planning to do cocktails, they're not planning to do mixed drinks or any type of distilled spirits. It's just going to be beer and wine only for on-premises consumption. That obviously also means that they will not be serving any beer or wine to go, so this will not be operating as a store where you can purchase beer or wine to go and take it either on campus or off. In terms of the area, we believe South Bethlehem's certainly well suited for a restaurant and pub. There's obviously numerous liquor licensees in Bethlehem, including South Bethlehem, and the University Center is a good location for this as well. It's in the centralized part of campus. It's well suited, and it's good for it's a good location for this type of operation. The plans are still kind of in flux in terms of timing, but the tentative open date is going to be spring of 2025. As indicated, there's still substantial construction going on to the premises. The anticipated hours of operation would be 11 a.m. to midnight, Mondays through Thursdays. Fridays and Saturdays they would operate later, 11 a.m. to approximately 2 a.m. And then Sundays it would be approximately 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. Depending on what events are happening at the university, they may do some themed brunches and things like that that would have them open a little bit earlier on Sunday. Applicant certainly intends to comply with the liquor code. Lehigh is very concerned about safety, and this pub and restaurant will be no exception. So they're going to make sure that everyone that's affiliated with the license and is involved in the service of alcohol be RAMP certified. They're going to strictly follow all Pennsylvania laws and regulations regarding identifying patrons so that no minors are present. And like the rest of the campus, they're going to have adequate security. They'll have security cameras, all the things that you would expect. So with that, if there's any questions, we're happy to answer them. But that is why we are requesting transfer the liquor license into the city for that purpose.
Sir, did you want to contribute anything to that before I open it up to council?
No, I believe we're ready for questions.
Okay, thank you. So I will turn to members of council for questions or comments as it relates to the intermunicipal transfer. Any questions or comments from members of council? Ms. Leone?
I had a couple questions. I know that he was saying that it's only to be served on premise, so I'm assuming that this doesn't, like, this isn't going to be a license that would allow Lehigh to then sell, like, alcohol sporting events or anything like that, just specifically at that pub.
No, this license would have the license premises that we highlighted on the diagram, and I understand you don't have a copy because you're participating remote, but there'd be a defined license premises within the university center, and that's where they'd be allowed to sell.
Is the bar going to then be open to, like, the public, or is it just, like, for staff and students?
The bar would be open to the public. We would anticipate that it's certainly mostly going to be frequented by people that are affiliated with the university, but it would be a public restaurant.
And President Cohen, I have a question of the administration. I'm not sure if this is the right time or during council meeting.
The administration's here?
Cool. I was just wondering about, like, I don't understand zoning for universities, nonprofits, and all that stuff, and I didn't know, is this place zoned for a liquor license? Has Lehigh reached out to you guys about if zoning allows for, I don't understand that, so can someone from the administration explain that to me if you don't mind?
Sure. To my knowledge, we haven't had any conversations with the applicant about the zoning, so I don't think that our zoning office has done a review of the plans. Off the top of my head, it's institutional. I believe that restaurants are, I believe taverns are allowed institutional, but restaurants are not.
It's our understanding that it is already zoned appropriately, but to answer your question another way, the only purpose of today's proceeding is to transfer the license in. Once the license is transferred, the applicant will still have to comply with all zoning regulations or other requirements.
Yeah, so I guess the answer from the administration's perspective would be we haven't done a look at it. I would anticipate that there would be questions about like the percentage of alcohol sales, for example. I think if percentage of alcohol sales is over 50%, it's a tavern, which would be permitted. If it's less than that, I believe it would be a restaurant, and I'm fairly certain that in the institutional zone, it's not a permitted use, so they probably need a variance, I believe.
I'm not sure as to that specific zoning issue. The intent is that more than 50% of the sales are going to be food and non-alcoholic beverages. That is the intent and the expectation in terms of the ratios of sales.
If I may, I would just add that a full service with restaurant with limited alcohol, what I wrote down that he said, sounds to me like a restaurant under the zoning code. So I would not think that as zoning currently stands, they would be zoned to operate this. At this moment, very preliminarily, having not heard anything from Lehigh ahead of time or had any discussions with the university at all.
Ms. Leone, did you hear that?
I did, thank you.
Mayor Reynolds, did you want to contribute to that?
No, I just wanted to add that we had received the same communication that council had previously leading up to it, so there was not a conversation about it, so we can't necessarily speak to that. I don't believe Ms. Collins or Mr. Spurk, you're having conversations with the applicant. Yeah, and we actually had that conversation earlier today that we were wondering about the other information that the applicant had laid out there in the presentation. But Ms. Leone, we had not seen anything or had any conversations about the plans. As far as I could tell, is either the Department of Community Economic Development or the legal office or the mayor's office, other than what had been passed along to council as a communication. So this would be the first time that we were hearing about some of this as well.
Okay, thanks, President Collin. I have a couple comments, but I think I'll save it for the council meeting because it's not really questions. So, and sake of moving it along, I'm good over here.
Any other questions or comments from members of council? Dr. Van Wert?
I just don't know about liquor licenses in general, so I'm hoping you can enlighten me. If you do get the transfer in and this pub decides to open it up to have liquor sales as well, what is that process? Do we have any say in approval of that, or can you just do it without looking back?
No, I mean, under Pennsylvania law, municipalities are not permitted to place conditions or restrictions on liquor licenses because the courts and the Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board have taken the position that that's the exclusive jurisdiction of the Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board and they're therefore preempted. So municipalities are not, they can approve or deny a transfer. They can't add their own, you know, they can't dictate the hours or place their own restrictions on them.
So you can just change it when you want to, if you want to, pretty much.
We could, however, the intent is not to do liquor sales. The intent is to do the beer and wine for a variety of reasons. It's a campus. That's what we think is going to be appropriate. But it's like any other licensee. They can act within the confines of the law if they so choose. But we do like to provide you an accurate and truthful representation of what we're going to do with it.
And I'm just going to ask you, what does a liquor license go for these days?
Price-wise?
Yeah.
Yeah. They vary depending on whether you're using a broker or whether you're purchasing it from directly. They're up from $250 to $300 is what we're typically seeing in Northampton County. Some have sold for cheaper, some have sold for more. It really depends on how badly you need it, what's available, what you can find, and the party's negotiation.
And to be clear, we're talking about $250,000 to
$300,000. They are costing,
okay.
Yes.
That's all my questions. Thank you.
Councilwoman Ramsey-Smith.
Thank you, President. I just had a few questions. I'm assuming that this would be the first time that Lehigh would be in the business of selling liquor, that they never had a liquor license before. Is that correct?
I don't believe the university has any restaurant liquor licenses on campus, so this would be the first. They do, obviously, in addition to, they do have other food establishments, but not ones with a restaurant liquor license.
And I'm not sure, can you speak to why all of a sudden now they would like to get into the business of, having a pub restaurant that sells alcohol?
We believe that it meets a demand and a desire and fills a gap on campus right now, or I should say in the future in 2025 with the anticipated opening. So it's looking ahead, and while we're doing the renovation of the Clayton University Center, those forces kind of coalesced to make this an opportune time to seek to get into that area.
And you did say, so we're looking at the clientele would be students that are of age, 21 or older, and then anyone from the general public can come, as well as, parents and staff members. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And do you know if there's any other colleges or universities in the city that have an alcohol liquor license? Are you aware, or can the city administration speak to that?
I will defer to the city on that.
I'm not personally aware of any
administration.
Do we? Are we aware of any city or university within the city of Bethlehem that has an alcohol license, a liquor license at this point?
I do not believe that Northampton Community College or Moravian has one, but I'm not 100% positive. But I don't believe that they have one.
Okay. Thank you. And I guess my other, it's a question, a comment, but also a question is, has the university thought about, or can you surmise that will, if you do open this restaurant pub and have a liquor license, will that adversely affect the businesses in the city, especially those in the south side, that, do sell liquor and have a restaurant? Will that take away business from those current businesses, especially in light of them taking a hit since COVID?
We certainly don't think it's going to have any significant negative effect on the community. It's not going to be akin to something that's on 3rd Street or 4th Street. It's within the campus. So we don't see it as being really an apples-to-apples comparison to other bars and restaurants that are in Southside Bethlehem or Bethlehem in general.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments from members of council?
I have one.
Dr. Ian?
I was just interested in the university's procedures to make certain that a student is 21. You know, most of the undergraduates are under 21. And what is the university's thinking on that? This must be a new trend. I was on a campus for nearly 30 years, and that was never a consideration. But what has the university decided to do to make certain that the students are 21?
Sure. So in addition to the general responsible alcohol management program training, which anyone who's involved with the service of alcohol at this establishment would go through, the university will obviously be IDing patrons. They can utilize a card scanner that allows them to scan IDs to ensure that the person is of age. But those are the general ways that any liquor licensee would ensure that they're serving only people that are of age. Those are the primary. You're not required to use a card scanner. Many applicants and many licensees will, even if they're not required to do so because they find it helpful. It's also helpful for other reasons, just keeping track of your clientele. But that, and then also just making sure your staff is trained appropriately to spot fake IDs and ensure that, in addition to the card scanner, that you're looking to make sure that the IDs are valid.
So do you know if the university has looked into other universities doing this?
Yes, extensively. There is a wide range of universities, both within the Commonwealth and across the nation, that have a similar model or setup. And this is an area where we thought that we had a gap and could fill a need, and are excited with the possibility of moving forward. But the alcohol safety is going to be priority number one. That is non-negotiable, and we're excited in the ensuing 2+ years of planning to ensure that's the case.
Any other questions or comments,
just
members of council? Dr. Van Wyk.
What is the seating capacity of this proposed restaurant? And, you conceivably also could change it and add on and build and expand. Is that correct?
Do you know the seating capacity?
So with the opening out more than 2 years, some of the design work is still happening now and looking at service providers and how they might want to set it up so it's not firmly dialed in. But that is certainly something that will be resolved well ahead of time. Yeah.
So just going back to capacity, are we talking like a, so I'm not familiar with the campus center, and I understand you said there's some renovations going on. So is the bookstore is not housed there?
Correct.
And then currently what's being added? Is the restaurant's gonna be something new with this planned renovation? Or is this just an expansion of an existing food option there at the campus center?
I characterize it as more of an expansion, since there were a number of existing food options within the university center. It's updating much of the building, not just the area for the anticipated pub.
So then the pub will not be the only food option within the university center?
No.
Okay.
But they will be separate and distinct by floor access.
And then with the license and just the what it allows, if there is an event going on the lawn, are you permitted then to have like a beer tub to sell beer out there if there's a campus event going on, or do all the sales have to remain housed within the actual floor space of the restaurant?
So you can only sell on your licensed premises. So unless the university endeavor to expand the license premises from what we've depicted on the diagram, they would not be able to do that. And my understanding is they would have no intention of any outdoor service whatsoever, and probably not a beer tub. But that would be the way you'd have to expand your premises to do so.
Understood. Thank you. All my other questions were already asked by other members of council. So, gentlemen, thank you. Before I turn to public comment, I will ask, are there any more questions or comments from members of council? Ms. Lee?
Yeah, President Cohen, I have another question, but this one's for the administration again. I can think of at least like 10 pubs off the top of my head without even trying that, residing on the south side. When I was looking
into this, I noticed that some of the universities that apply for a liquor license tend to have a bar, like a non-existent bar scene outside of their area. So like the sales, not that the sales has one, but something that's out in the middle of, the, of nowhere. And I was just wondering what Director Collins thinks about this from an economic perspective and how this might affect Southside businesses.
Sure. So again, this is a new issue that we're thinking about as the application came in recently. But I will say that over the past couple of days, we've heard from some business owners on the south side, some restaurants, some bar owners. And I recognize they don't need to have notice because of the distance, but it has gotten around to some of those bar owners and restaurant owners, and they have expressed concerns. I think for a number of the bars down there in our Southside Arts District, the Lehigh student population does make up a decent chunk of their business. Some business owners that we've talked to, I think, have estimated like 20 to 25% of their business. So while there, our retail analysis does say that we've got some capacity for more bars and restaurants, When you look just at the student population, I mean, that is a finite number of people. That does make up a nice large percentage of business for some of those bars. Like I said, I haven't looked at those numbers, but I think what I'm hearing is like 20 to 25% of the business. So the short answer is that I can't say for sure, but I can say that businesses have recently expressed concern about it.
Thank you. I kind of heard similar when I, you know, I live on the south side, so I just went and knocked on doors and asked some of these bar owners, what would something like this do? And they expressed kind of the same thing, that their COVID numbers have never really rebounded. They're sitting down already from 2019 numbers, and this would cut into a big hunk of. So thank you for clarifying that. That's all I had. President Cole.
Thank you, Ms. Leone. Any other questions or comments from members of council?
I would just like to say, number three, I've heard concerns from business owners also.
Thank you, Dr. Enix. Well, before I turn over a public comment, thank you to the administration for answering some of the council questions that were asked. And I'll open it up to public comment. Thank you again to those who made the presentation tonight. And for public comment, I'm just going to go around the room, as we typically do. I'll start on the left. Is there anyone on the left that wanted to make comment about the liquor license transfer? Seeing none, turning to the center, Mr. Antalis.
I can confirm that other universities have liquor licenses, because the University of Pennsylvania has the Egyptian Museum, which is quite a place, and many professional scientific societies have their meetings there, because I've attended two of them, one ACS and one for Center for Polymer Engineering. And I know I had wine there and I paid for it, so they had a liquor license.
Thank you, Mr. Antalis. Is there anyone else in the center who wanted to make a comment during the public hearing? I turn to the right. Is there anyone to the right? Seeing none, that's going to adjourn our public hearing. The proposed. Oh, Mr. Haynes.
Bruce Haynes, 63 West Church Street. According to the, looking at the zoning, hearing zoning things, restaurants are not permitted in institutional zones, nor are taverns. So it doesn't appear that this would be appropriate to even open as a restaurant.
Thank you, Mr. Haynes. Appreciate that. Anyone else for public comment? So the proposed transfer approval resolution is on tonight's agenda, listed as item 10A under resolutions. And the public hearing is adjourned. So we're going to move on to our regular council meeting, starting with the approval of the minutes for the January 17, 2023 meeting. Any comments regarding the minutes? Minutes stand approved. Moving on to public comment this evening, We will start with anything not being voted on this evening with a 5-minute time limit. Again, anyone who is watching at home, if you want to follow in real time, I ask you to fast forward ahead to the stream of the meeting. And then we have one person signed up tonight for first public comment. This is Mr. Alex Hirsch.
Alex Hirsch, 738 Center Street. Just my usual. I'm up there 207 days. And please, somebody help me.
Thank you, Mr. Hirsch. There's no one else signed up, so I'm going to open it up to the room. For again, this is anything not being voted on this evening. Is there anyone to the left? Mr. Haynes?
Bruce Haynes, 63 West Church Street. This is relating to the prior meeting that talked about affordable housing. I just want to reiterate, and one of the slides that was up there was very appropriate, and it talked about a way to increase. I believe capitalism still works, and that eventually it's a matter of supply, and supply is going to happen, and there are places in the city that could be rezoned, as we talked about, even with the old steel plant, to allow for residential and or LVIP, as was discussed earlier as well. And also, I think we need to think about talking about, for affordable housing, how many square feet for a one-bedroom apartment is considered for affordable housing. I mean, does it have to be 700 square feet? What about tiny homes? What about, because the cost of housing is definitely difficult. So we have to be thinking about downsizing the square footage in order to meet the cost of affordable housing. And also my last point really is what was up there was about code enforcement. And I really encourage you, one of the biggest deterrents to affordable housing in most towns, fortunately our zoning code is pretty tight in that regard, is Airbnb. Are basically taking up homes and apartments where residents can live and turning them into transient housing in the middle of neighborhoods. And so they're taking housing stock, and so most cities are struggling and trying to get their zoning ordinances to preclude this because commercial people are coming in and buying these houses or buying and then converting the apartments and taking them out of the zone, out of the stock and inventory of those homes. And in fact, I just came back from a hotel conference. Now, because so many cities are vulnerable in that regard, even the hotel chains themselves are now talking about getting into buying in neighborhoods where there aren't strong zoning codes to start buying up the houses and then turning them basically into hotels. So we have about two dozen of those in the city. We have very tight zoning ordinance that's been done by DCED over the past few years where we've really tightened up. And now it's just a matter of putting some effort to shut down the two dozen or so homes or apartments that are being rented to outsiders, transient people coming in for one or two nights that used to be apartments for people who lived here. So I just encourage council to keep talking about that with DCED and including if we need to put more people in DCED to enforce our zoning ordinances, I encourage that.
Thank you, Mr. Haynes. Is there anyone else on the left who wants to make comment this evening? I will turn to the center. Mr. Shire.
Bill Sherry, 1890 Eaton Avenue. Tonight I'd like to talk about something the city is doing well and should be expanded. If you go to, or if you Google Bethlehem-PA.gov, you get a page that has a number of squares collected together, four columns, three rows. And if you pick the third column, second row, it says community meetings. If you click on that, you get a calendar for the current month. And each day there is a town hall meeting. I believe it's restricted to town hall meetings. The name of the government body that is meeting there is given. If you click on that, you get the agenda and the backup documents. This is very helpful. It's something relatively new. I'm going to argue for expanding it beyond our bodies that meet in town hall. For example, other commissions. Right now, the Planning Commission is there, as well as the City Council, of course, and the HCC and the HARB and the Zoning Hearing Board. But the Environmental Advisory Commission could be listed, the Human Rights Commission, and then there's the authorities, the Bethlehem Authority, the Housing Authority, the Parking Authority, the Redevelopment Authority. All this would be very useful. I have brought this matter up at a meeting of the Bethlehem Authority, and I was told that on their website, there is something you can click on to get the same information, and I suggested a link then from the calendar to their website, and they said that the initiative would have to come from the city. I think this is something that is relatively easy to do and would certainly promote citizen participation, which is something we all feel is a good thing, or most of us anyway. These other bodies, some of them meet, for example, in City Hall Room B504, and that's perhaps partly for the convenience of the city officials who have to attend. So with my proposal, they would have to come over to the City Hall, which is not our town hall, which is not a great hardship. And again, it will promote transparency and citizen participation, and I hope that's something that can come to pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shire. Is there anyone else in the center who wants to make comment on anything not being voted on? Mr. Antalis.
Stephen Antalis, 77 Ridge. I wish to expand on the comments made by a member of council at the last meeting, alluding to the quadrangle, which was taken over by Lehigh University in terms of expanding their campus. In terms of affordable housing, the greatest loss of affordable housing on the South Side has been caused by the city with support of the administration. And that quadrangle from Webster to Vine, Packard to Morton, was a devastation of properties, where some of the properties that were purchased by straw buyers were never occupied. And the city systematically stopped inspecting them, and they were being run down by vandals. And when sufficient number of properties in that rectangle were diminished, the city declared them, rather condemned them. And in that process, it was lost the beautiful home of the best mayor of Bethlehem, Mayor Pifel, and also a historic Jewish temple, an Orthodox temple with its stained glass windows. And at that time, this was all facilitated where the head of Redevelopment Authority was the dean of Lehigh University, and vice president of the redevelopment was the assistant superintendent of the redevelopment was a vice president of Bethlehem Steel. So that's like putting
the hen house, the wolf in front of the hen house. So there's quite a bit of affordable housing lost in the process. Later, to exacerbate a bad situation, making it worse, was Bethlehem was, and I've mentioned this before a number of times, Bethlehem was the only city in the state, university city, where they had families fight on unrelated people. And clearly, non-resident landlords bought up the property because of the profit running out to affluent students. So Carleton, Montclair, Berkeley, parts of Packer, and Hastings, east to Taylor, were all lost to student housing. And each would have been affordable housing. So now it's become a major issue, and it seems to be that with a big emphasis on affordable housing, it seems like the administration and council are now doing penance for the past sins.
Thank you, Mr. Antal. Is there anyone else in the center who wanted to make comment on anything not being voted on this evening, on tonight's agenda? Sir?
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity to comment on the sale of the Lutheran Churches to Lehigh University. So, good evening. My name is Nathan Urban, and I'm the provost at Lehigh University, speaking on behalf of the university. I'd like to offer some brief comments regarding the Blessed Trinity Lutheran Church's sale of their churches to Lehigh. St. Peter's, St. John's Windish, and Light of Christ are three prominent and historic spaces that are integral to the Bethlehem community. I want to first thank the congregations for their stewardship of these spaces over the years and the trust that they've placed in Lehigh. I also want to express our commitment as a university to the South Side and to the broader Bethlehem community. This is an important moment, one that we see as creating additional opportunities for Lehigh to partner with local and regional organizations, as well as members of the city leadership in this room, with the goal of directly supporting community needs alongside and in conjunction with Lehigh's mission to advance learning. We're now entering into the formal sales process. However, I can, even at this time, share some early thoughts with you regarding the potential uses of these properties, as well as how we plan to engage the community. Now, St. Peter's is directly across the street from Lehigh's campus. We see this proximity as creating the opportunity for both short-term and long-term uses that align with our mission and advance our ability to teach, develop new knowledge, and to serve the community. The combined congregations have expressed the desire to continue their worship at Light of Christ in the short term, and we've communicated our support for this while they search for a long-term home. St. John's Windish has been the focus of substantial discussion by members of the community and of this council. And we, as a university, are committed to open conversations with you, as well as with a variety of organizations and partners to gather input from the community and from community leaders on future uses of St. John's Windish Church and the parking lot across the street that reflect the needs and interests both of Lehigh and of the local community. While we expect the sale process to take several months, we intend to begin gathering input from community partners prior to the sale being completed. One thing that I can clarify is that we have no intention of building student housing on any of these church sites, including the parking lot associated with St. John's Windish. I know that there will be likely additional questions from the community regarding specific plans. And as this process progresses, we look forward to further conversations and together to advancing Bethlehem's bright future. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in the center who wants to make comment on anything not being voted on this evening? I turn to the right. All right. that concludes our first public comment for anything not being voted on this evening. Now we're going to move to the second public comment for any ordinance or resolution that's on tonight's agenda. There is no one signed up for second public comment, so again, I'll go around the room. Starting with the left, is there anyone who wants to make comment on anything being voted on this evening? Seeing none, I turn to the center, Mr. Antalics.
Stephen Antalics, Edison Ridge. Referring to Resolution 10B, I personally am against private ownership of handguns. But handguns can be very important in the hands of qualified people. And the best person to have a handgun is a policeman, because they're protecting us, and unfortunately, hopefully not through the use of a handgun. Now, for that officer, that handgun has been a companion, and in a sense, been part of their body, and they become attached to it. And I'm at a loss why a person would not want that officer to own their handgun. Because under proper circumstances or unfortunate circumstances, that could become a very important issue. So I don't understand the logic of anyone opposing that. Because who would you want to have protect you? A police officer with a gun and a retired police officer as a citizen with a gun. Hopefully they won't be in a position to have to use it to keep you safe. So that almost makes 10B a non-brainer.
Thank you, Mr. Antalics. Is there anyone else in the center who wants to make comment on anything being voted on this evening? Mr. Shire.
Bill Shire, 1898 Avenue. I should have thought of this during the hearing, but this is just as well. On the question of competition between a pub, let's call it, on Lehigh campus and similar institutions on the south side, there's the question of income taxes. As many of you know, I did work for the Small Business Administration in D.C. for 15 years. And this was not an issue that I was personally concerned with, but something I heard about from colleagues, the issue of what was called unfair competition with between small business and nonprofits. The question is, and it's not stated in the agenda, whether or not the pub would be owned by Lehigh University. If it is, or would be, or will be, and then the question is whether or not income taxes will be paid on any of the profits. If not, that's, they have a competitive advantage over any tax-paying business on the south side. There is a provision, and this goes back now 25 years when I left the SBA, but there was a provision at the time for, under certain circumstances, businesses operated by a university would be taxable. And we're not talking just pubs, we're talking about travel agencies. I remember it was one example, a laundromat. permit, so on. And but I remember hearing that there was a loophole that you could drive a truck through. So I don't know what the status of the law is now about that. Perhaps the gentleman here can elucidate and inform us about that. But I just want to raise the issue as something that bears some consideration. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shire. Is there anyone else who wanted to make comment on anything that's being voted on this evening? I turn to the right. Well, thank you, everyone. That concludes public comment this evening. Moving on to old business. Any old business from members of council? Seeing none, we're going to move on to communications. Communication 6A.
January 12, 2023 memorandum from Police Chief Michelle Cott with an attached resolution and agreement for the purchase of a duty weapon by a retired officer of the Bethlehem Police Department. Pursuant to the Third Class City Code, retired officers may purchase their duty firearms at fair market value.
And Resolution 10B is on this evening's agenda. Communication 6B.
A January 13, 2023 memorandum with an attached resolution from Health Director Kristen Wenrick recommending a contract with Capacity for Change of Westchester. The contract is for the creation of a strategic plan for 2023 through 2026. The contract cost is $12,600 and completion is expected by July 31st, 2023. There are no renewals.
And Resolution 10C is on tonight's agenda. Communication 6C.
A memorandum dated January 17, 2023 with an attached resolution and exhibit from Michelle Liberto, Deputy Controller, requesting the destruction of records from the Controller's office. Deputy Controller has reviewed the Municipal Records Retention Act, and the records listed on the exhibit fall within the categories where destruction is permitted.
And a resolution will be placed on the February 21st, 2023 agenda. Communication 6D.
The January 24th, 2023 memorandum from Assistant Solicitor Matthew Deschler with an attached proposed ordinance for the vacation of a portion of 2nd Avenue in the city's 10th Ward.
And Ordinance 9A is on tonight's agenda. Communication 6E.
The January 25th, 2023 memorandum with an attached resolution from Michelle Sihocki, Director of Human Resources, recommending a contract with St. Luke's Occupational Medicine. Cost is $7,400 for the administration of the required FMCSA, Department of Transportation Drug and Alcohol Testing. Contract term is January 1st, 2023 through December 31st, 2023. This is an auto renewal contract.
And Resolution 10D is on the agenda. Communication 6F.
January 26, 2023, memorandum with an attached resolution from Mike Alcohol, Director of Public Works, recommending a contract with Bethlehem Landfill Company of Bethlehem. The cost is $156,938 for the disposal of municipal solid waste and unscreened street sweepings generated by the Bureaus of Grounds Maintenance and Streets Maintenance throughout the year. The amount is the total cost for a three-year contract for years 2023 through 2025. The city has the option to renew the contract for three additional two-year terms with mutual consent of both parties.
And Resolution 10E is on tonight's agenda also. And then the added agenda item, Communication 6G.
The February 2nd, 2023 rezoning petition signed by Kevin Surfas of Surfas Development and Acquisitions requesting an amendment to the city's zoning map involving 119 Technology Drive. Current zoning for the property is industrial redevelopment. The request is to change the zoning classification to become part of the adjacent central business district. The proposed development, if rezoning is granted, is a 240-unit, six-story apartment building.
And I will accept a motion followed by a second to schedule a public hearing on the proposed zoning map amendment for Tuesday, March the 21st at 7 p.m. here in Town Hall.
So moved. Second.
Motion by Ms. Kwiatek, second by Ms. Wilhelm. Any discussion on the motion? I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passed 7-0. A public hearing has been scheduled for Tuesday, March 21st, 2023 at 7 p.m. Moving on to reports, I have nothing this evening. Mr. Mayor?
Yeah, I have a couple of administrative orders. First one is, I hereby reappoint James A. DiPietro, 3302 Broadway, Allentown, Pennsylvania, 18104, to the Fine Arts Commission. This appointment is effective through January 2026.
Administrative order of James A. DiPietro to the Fine Arts Commission. Resolution to confirm is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Wilhelm.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0.
Thank you. I hereby reappoint Barbara Frost, 405 Beery's Bridge Road, Bethlehem, PA, 18017, to the Fine Arts Commission. This appointment is effective through May 2026.
Administrative order of Barbara Frost to the Fine Arts Commission. Resolution to confirm is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Wilhelm.
Discussion. Call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0.
Thank you. I hereby reappoint Elizabeth Saraceno, 3940 Norfolk Drive, Bethlehem, PA, 18020, to the Fine Arts Commission. This appointment is effective through April 2026.
Administrative order, Elizabeth Saraceno to the Fine Arts Commission. Resolution is to confirm is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Wilhelm.
Discussion? Call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0.
Thank you. And my last administrative order, I hereby reappoint Denise Stangle, 1532 Ralston Road, Bethlehem, PA, 18018, to the Fine Arts Commission. And this appointment is effective through April 2026.
The administrative order, Denise Stangle, Fine Arts Commission. Resolution confirmed is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Wilhelm.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0.
Ms. Collins has a couple of reports as well.
Hi. Hello again. My first report, I wanted to just thank the council members who participated in last Wednesday's information session about the Community Recovery Fund. And for those who were not able to attend and for the public, we had about 85, 90 community members who joined us for that information session where we laid out the very beginning basic information about the Community Recovery Fund grant program. That will be opening March 1st. We'll have applications open. They're going to be open for 2 months. And as we described during the meeting, the purpose of the Community Recovery Fund, as you know, after passing this budget line item during the 2023 budget process and with your help, the Community Recovery Fund is going to be really instrumental in helping local organizations, small organizations, community nonprofits continue to serve Bethlehem residents, or in many instances we hope expand programs or begin new programs that address the pandemic recovery needs that we've been talking so much about and that we surveyed people about and that we know are prevalent, not necessarily in the housing space. We talk a lot, obviously, about affordable housing and about homelessness, but there are a number of other community needs that this Community Recovery Fund is going to help us continue as a city to support these organizations, not only in recovering from the pandemic, but also rebuilding some of these social systems and services that we saw during the pandemic were inadequate or not able to withhold the pressure put on them by the pandemic, and which hurts a lot of people. So I was really pleased with the number of people who showed up. I think we're gonna see a great response and be able to do a lot of good. We said on the call during that meeting that this first round of grant funding will be in total up to $750,000. So the budget line item is $3 million. But we anticipate that we're going to have different rounds, multiple rounds of grant funding for a number of reasons, to make the program sustainable, to expand that $3 million over a longer period of time, to, you know, on our end, learn a little bit from the applications that we receive. I think we'll learn more about community need and about organizational capacity, and also to allow organizations some time to think about what their needs are, and not feel the pressure of needing to get an application in right away. So through all that, and as we described during the call, we're also trying to be like very conscious of equity issues and inclusion, and try to make the program as accessible as possible in a way that other grant programs are not always, by reducing barriers and just being very conscious about how we're presenting the grant opportunity, how we're reviewing applications, how we're awarding grants. So overall, I thought it was really great, and I wanted to just thank everybody who was able to attend and or who we spoke to in advance. So that's my first update. My second update, on a different topic, wanted to just give a couple comments about the status of the Westgate Mall redevelopment that received some attention in the news, and we've heard from people in the community just sincere and earnest interest in what's happening with some of these businesses. And I can say I even personally have my own stories. I got my first and only flute at Hawk Music in sixth grade. Didn't last very long. But the Westgate Mall redevelopment is a really important project. But we recognize that the challenge that places on some of these businesses. But we have been out, we have, as a department, have talked with the owners of the property about their timeline and about relocation plans. We've also been out just in the mall multiple times and have had a number of conversations with some of these business owners. And a few have relocation plans already in place. Others we are working with to connect with resources, either potential future properties or Small Business Development Center, Southside Arts District, different avenues that might help them. And we are hopeful that we are keeping them in Bethlehem. I will say that, I feel comfortable sharing this, but Hawk Music, I don't think is planning to continue as an entity. I think they're, the owner has been running that business for quite some time. So we're having a lot of conversations with them. We'll see how that goes, but we have been paying a lot of attention. The Jeweler, I believe, we're working on a location for them, and we're also working on a location for an amateur athlete, or just working on facilitating that to the best that we can. I believe Holiday Hair already has a new location. Subway might stay in the new Westgate Mall building. So that is my update on that.
Thank you, Ms. Collins. I just want to thank Ms. Collins and Ms. Satullo and everyone that's working on our affordable housing strategy study. I want to thank Council. Obviously, we had a 90-minute kind of part one of that conversation. And one thing that we have been impressed with that both shows probably the depth of the need as well as how engaged people are in the community is how many people we've had coming out to our events. And we had, as Ms. Collins had said, I believe we had almost 90 people that were on the call last week about a community recovery fund. And I believe, Ms. Satullo, we have almost 100 signed up for tomorrow. So we have almost 100 people signed up for tomorrow for that community sharing of the information that we had tonight about affordable housing. Obviously, the presentation that you saw today about what just the market is doing to Bethlehem and to the Lehigh Valley is staggering. And I think that it is something that is going to take a combination of creativity and passion and dedication in the city, and also thinking about this in a little bit of a different way as far as what can we do as a region to increase the housing supply. And I think Dr. Baron-Wert had talked about it before, is like what the market hasn't covered or what the market doesn't do. And we really look at that as a microcosm for everything. I mean, that's why we are here. That's what the public interest is about, is taking care of what the private market, private interests don't take care of. That is the whole reason why we have city council, why we have local government, why we have city hall. And we're going to have to mobilize in a way across this region within our city to take advantage of opportunities for affordable housing. And when those opportunities are in front of us, be committed to taking advantage of those opportunities. And it is not easy to build dedicated affordable housing. And there's not a lot of land. And when the land is available, it's important that we do everything we can to make sure that we create those dedicated affordable housing units. It's a combination of creating supply, but also making sure that we're able to create those affordable dedicated units, which is the goal. So we're going to obviously talk more about that tomorrow, which is the next step. It's a grind. We have a lot of people signed up tomorrow, a lot of people with a lot of organizations that are on the front lines wanting to know what can we do about our housing crisis. And we are going to keep working, obviously, with our council members, who I know that this is an issue of passion for all seven of you, and with thousands and thousands and thousands of people within our community. So once again, thank you for being part of that meeting today, and we're looking forward to tomorrow. Thank you, President Colon.
Thank you, Mayor Reynolds. Moving on to our Community Development Committee report, Dr. Van Wert.
The Community Development Committee met tonight, Tuesday, February 7th at 5:30 p.m. in Town Hall. The administration gave a comprehensive housing strategy update. This was part one. There will be another Community Development Committee meeting on Tuesday, March 7th at 5:30 p.m. in Town Hall for the comprehensive housing strategy update, part two.
Thank you. Thank you. Moving on to ordinances for final passage, I'll ask the clerk to read Bill 1, 2023.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2023 General Fund Budget. Bill 01, 2023 is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leone.
Any discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon.
Aye. Passes 7-0. Bill 2 of 2023.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2023 General Fund Budget. Bill 02, 2023 is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leone.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. We'll read Bill 3 of 2023.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2023 capital budget for non-utilities. Bill 03, 2023 is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leone.
Discussion? Call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Bill 4 of 2023.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the Golf Course Enterprise Budget for 2023. Bill 04, 2023 is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leone.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. And the clerk will read Bill 5, 2023.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2023 Community Development Block Grant Budget. Bill 05, 2023 is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leone.
Discussion? Call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatek?
I apologize. Dr. Van Wert?
So I just wanted, I'm going to support this tonight, but I just wanted to comment that I think that a city should not be giving away its land. We, even in small portions, even in unwanted corners that are hard for our people to move. What? Oh, I'm sorry. Woo, my fault. I'm off my game tonight. I really am.
You're ahead of your game.
I am. No, I'm ahead of my game.
We've all been there, Dr.
Yes,
Dr.
Okay. Well, never mind. I take it back.
Any other discussion? Ask the clerk to call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatek.
Aye.
Ms. Leon.
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Aye.
Dr. Enix.
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne.
Aye. Passes 7-0. Moving on to new ordinances, I'll ask the clerk to read Bill 6 of 2023.
An ordinance authorizing the vacation, discontinuance, and striking from the city's general plan of streets of a portion of 2nd Avenue in the 10th Ward of the City of Bethlehem, County of Lehigh, Pennsylvania. Bill 06, 2023 is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Wilhelm.
Discussion?
Okay. Anyways, my point is, I understand that it may be useful to the city to convey portions of city land because it's hard to mow or it's neglected or anything else. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't be doing it, but I think we should put a value on it. Because if when we do not put a value on it and then there are larger and larger or there are more valuable or more desirable pieces of land, it creates confusion. And while these lands may be difficult to value, I still think that we should have kind of a hard-nosed city outlook on the conveyance of these lands. And it doesn't necessarily have to be of great value, but it should be a standard that we follow for every single transfer. And that was my point I would like to make. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Van Wert. Any other comments from members of council? I will ask the clerk to, Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Thank you. I totally agree. I think I had mentioned this at another council meeting. And again, I totally understand that some of the land, like we looked at selling land, I think it was 2 years ago when I went, and you know, the land was like just a little bit of yard or whatever, but this particular piece of land is, I think, much larger. But I think that we really need to come up with a game plan, because there should be at least a nominal fee, because the bottom line is this, the land is owned by the city, which essentially means it is owned by the people that live in the city, the taxpayers. And we're essentially giving land for free that is owned by taxpayers. And I think that really is a slippery slope and not really the right thing to do. So thank you, Dr. Van Wert, for bringing this side of the issue up.
Any other questions or comments from members of council?
I actually have a question for the administration. So it's about 2,200 square feet of land. It becomes part of the property of the current homeowners. Will they then be assessed a new level of taxation based on the larger size of their unimproved, they're going to have a bigger yard, so that's unimproved land. So will they get a higher tax bill?
Sure. That's more land they acquired.
Okay. How does that happen? So when we convey the land to them, I'm just curious about what the process is of how something gets added to the tax rolls that hasn't been on the tax rolls.
Mr. Alcohol is not here tonight, and this is just for the record. It's second missed meeting in 25 years. He had so he just knew this was going to come up. But we have easements on the land too, so there's no development there that is possible. There's trees there, there's easements there, so it's not as if somebody can do anything with it other than cut the grass. It is adjacent to that obviously changed when Second Avenue was modified. I can't speak to that process. I don't know whether or not if you have easements on your land there as far as what that affects with the Lehigh County Assessment Office where that is placed on their priority list. I don't know that. I just know that Mr. Alcohol was clear. He's like, there's nothing that can be built on this. It's not even like here's a piece of land that we can't develop, so we're like selling it to you.
Right. So one of the concerns from a resident who lives across the street in the condos was, you know, when this land is eventually conveyed to the next owner, whenever the Mowers choose to sell their home, they could potentially do anything with it. And what you're saying is, no, there was already an easement on it.
The city has stuff underground.
Right.
So that's what.
So they can't go building like a, yeah, okay. So that's
not like we let them.
Right. Okay, that's it's good to know. What Mr. Spurk said for those watching on YouTube is the city has easements. There are things under the land, you know, all kinds of things going on under there that would make it not viable for the city to allow someone to build on this land. I also do want to say that the three very big, beautiful, mature trees that are on that land were planted by the people who own the property next to it, who will be taking on the responsibility for caring for this piece of property. So it is a little different. I totally understand my colleague's points about not giving away city land, but in this case, yeah, I'll be voting aye. So thank you very much.
If I could just follow up briefly, sure. Just to maybe put some other minds at ease here, when there's an easement that is going across land, you know, if that property were to change hands, that easement would then be built into the deed as it goes forward and then gets transferred. So that'd be part of the title process as well. Mr. Spurk, would you agree with that?
Yes, yeah. I would.
And then as well, when you're talking about taxes with Lehigh County or whether it's Northampton County, typically when the property then gets assumed by another property owner, that would then be handled by that recorder of deeds for that specific county. And then when they issued their normal tax statements, that would be, you know, you have to pay property tax. So that's when that would start coming into effect. So it would be expected that the easement would then transfer from deed to deed through the title search and the title company, and that that'd be a pretty normal process, just in case anybody else was wondering about those items.
Thank you, Mr. Pinnell. Any other questions or comments from members of council? I'll just say before we call the roll, I will be supporting this, and I hear the points also that the other council members have made. I think there's a cost benefit or trade off, however you want to categorize it, when looking at something like this where there's not really a lot of uses for the land other than just the current property owners absorbing it into their lot there. And there is some maintenance, even if it's minimal, that the attention that has to be given by our city employees as they get out, and now they'll be able to dedicate that time to something else, and from now and perpetuity it'll add up. And you know, I think it's a net gain for the city to not have to maintain that little parcel of land, that little piece of land there on the west side. So if there's no other discussion from members of council, I will ask the clerk to call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Moving on to resolutions, Resolution 10A.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem, Lehigh and Northampton Counties, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, as follows. 1. Applicant CUC Holdings, LLC, seek approval of an intermunicipal transfer of retail liquor license, retail restaurant liquor license number R18119, which was previously issued to Everything is Beautiful Incorporated, for the license premises located at 665-669 Northampton Street in Easton, Northampton County, to 29 Trombley Drive, Bethlehem, Northampton County, Pennsylvania, pursuant to Code Section 461. Number 2, applicant proposes to and will operate a fine dining but casual restaurant and pub at the aforedescribed location. Number 3, applicant's proposal is a permitted use at this location. Number 4, the applicant's proposed restaurant is in the institutional zoning district. Number 5, there is no evidence that the proposed intermunicipal transfer will adversely affect the welfare, health, peace, and morals of this city or the residents hereof. Number 6, council hereby approves the applicant's request for an intermunicipal transfer of Pennsylvania liquor license number R18119 pursuant to Code Section 461, sub B, sub 3. Number 7, the transfer of liquor license contemplated hereby is subject to final approval by the PLCB. The resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Wilhelm.
Thank you, Mr. Miller. Any discussion? This is, of course, the transfer that was discussed at this evening's public hearing. Any discussion from members of council? Councilwoman Leon?
Yeah. I have some thoughts about this. I obviously, some of you know that I was born and raised on the South Side, and being here, one of the things I've heard the most about the economic development of the South Side is that so much of what we do is geared at bringing Lehigh students down and into the community. We've seen a transfer, like we've seen a change from corner stores to like 15 bars. I'm thinking Bon, Ethne, Grog, House, Molly, Seven Sirens, Tally Ho, Social Skills, Soto, Santee, Zero, The Meadery, Five Natives. That's just stuff straight off the top of my head. So when I'm thinking about this liquor license transfer, I'm thinking about what am I asked to look at, you know, welfare, health, and all that stuff. So I'm thinking about these businesses. I'm also thinking about, there's a little bit of history here with Lehigh being consistently ranked amongst the top 10 of party schools. There's some data, I think it was like 2017 or 2018, regarding alcohol-related instances on Lehigh, which numbered 147 versus Moravians, I think it was like 17 or 18. So I'm very concerned about this. I'm concerned about why we would take a step back in all of the years of business and economic development we've done on the South Side with trying to pull people away from our central business district. I'm concerned about the underage drinking. One of Lehigh's former provosts has actually been on record as saying that they know that underage drinking is a problem and there's very little that can be done about it. So I worry that maybe some of the best behaved students will stay on Lehigh, which will leave our business owners to deal with underage drinking that would adversely affect their business licenses. So every kind of rabbit hole thought process I go down with this is, it doesn't end up well. And while I think there's the best of intentions, I think that we need to safeguard against the worst case scenario. So when I'm asked, how do I think that this would affect the welfare, health, peace, and morals of the municipality, and if it would adversely affect it, I keep coming to the conclusion that there is a possibility that it would adversely affect the welfare, health, obviously peace with the amount of alcohol-related instances. So I don't think I can support this tonight.
Thank you, Ms. Leo. Any other questions or comments from members of council? Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Thank you. I've thought long and hard about this, and it's a difficult one, but my concern is that I think that it would, while it may be certainly a plus for Lehigh, there's again, the zoning issue and whatnot, and that's something to look at down the line, but as far as the liquor license goes, I have concerns, especially because of how it can adversely affect, I think, the economy of the city as a whole, and especially the South Side, especially since we're still looking at businesses that are reeling from COVID. I know I'm an alumni of Lehigh myself, as are many of my friends and family, and I know when there's events happening like Alumni Weekend and Parents Weekend and whatnot, you'll see the restaurants and offers a lot more crowded in the city as a result of that. I'm afraid that this is going to adversely affect the economy and the well-being of other businesses within the city. So that's why I will not be supporting this. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Cramsey-Smith. Any other questions or comments from members of council? Dr. Van Wert?
I too have thought very much about this. And I think my point I was making in asking the value of this liquor transfer license points to how integral it is to the success of a restaurant. And Lehigh has very deep pockets and can afford, which I suspect is closer to a $400,000 liquor license. But our restaurant and bar owners on the South Side don't have deep pockets, and they've had to pay for that same liquor license and compete. And Councilwoman Leo's points about our efforts to draw the students down into the city, like that has been such a huge point about what we've tried to do. And this further isolates the students, gives them reason to stay up there and not spend their money down in the city. And I can't see how this can benefit our citizens. So while I understand LU's need to have, you know, a happy senior with sirloin and suds, I'm really much more concerned about the impact of it on our business and as a precedent, and the unchained ability of this to grow and to spread into liquor. The zoning issues themselves are very concerning, so I cannot support this tonight.
Thank you, Dr. Van Wert. Any other questions or comments from members of council? Ms. Collins, did you want to give feedback?
I did. I wanted to, for the sake of your discussion, correct a response that I had to some council questioning during the public hearing. I actually believe Mr. Haynes is correct that neither a restaurant nor a tavern is permitted under the zoning ordinance. I was reading it quickly. As I said, we hadn't had much chance to look at it, but I think I was looking at industrial rather than institutional. So my understanding, again, just looking at this, not comprehensively or thoroughly, but my understanding is that neither a restaurant nor a tavern is permitted in the institutional zone. I believe that there is a footnote as far as restaurants are concerned, that if they are an accessory use with no separate entrance and totally meant for students only, like I think a dining hall basically, I believe there's an exception for that. So I think there's certainly like interpretation questions, but as an initial matter, my impression would be that there would be a zoning issue to work out.
So then Ms. Collins, while you're up there, if they were to pursue any restaurant with a liquor license or not, would that be something to go before the zoning hearing board then?
I would believe so.
Yeah, thank
right.
you.
And for a variance, they would have to show hardship, yeah.
Understood.
Yeah. While I'm standing here, I'll also just respond as well to some of the additional points about the local businesses. Lehigh does own, I think, 42 or 43% of the land on the south side, if you take out the industrial zones. They don't have restaurants within 500 feet, I guess, which is why they didn't have to advertise the liquor license transfer. But, within a half mile, those are the restaurants and bars that Ms. Leone was talking about, and I believe some of the ones that we were hearing from. So it's, we're not talking about the whole city. We are truly talking about what is left of that south side property that isn't already owned by Lehigh. That's my last parting comment.
Thank you, Ms. Collins. Any other questions or comments from members of council? Ms. Leone?
This will be the last thing I say about this, I swear. But I'm very aware of how much of the area Lehigh does own. And so when we're looking at welfare, health, peace, and morals, those were one of the things that really came into question, how much of the south side does Lehigh own, but also for the part that Lehigh doesn't own, how much of that section is dependent on the business that we get from Lehigh? And every single business that I've knocked on has talked about the 3 months dry spell when the students aren't here. It's just something that when I'm asked to look at these four specific things, I can't look past any of that. But the other point I did want to make is I just agree with what Dr. Van Wert and Dorothy Collins has said, the zoning issue, I don't think it falls under these four things, but it really just concerns me that this is something that isn't even allowed. And I would have liked more time to look into that. But thank you. That's all I have.
Thank you, Ms. Leone. Anything else from members of council? I will ask the clerk to call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatek?
This relates to my employer, so I abstain.
Ms. Leone?
Nay.
Dr. Van Wert?
Nay.
Ms. Wilhelm?
This also relates to my employer, so I abstain.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Nay.
Dr. Enix?
Nay.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. The resolution fails 4-1 with 2 abstentions. We're going to move on to Resolution 10B.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement to effectuate the transfer of the city-issued handgun assigned to Lieutenant Robert Kiefer, a retired city police officer. The resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Wilhelm.
Discussion?
I don't speak every time I vote nay on one of these, but I thought tonight I would just once again reiterate my opposition to the city selling handguns to retired police officers who then become civilians. So we're selling a handgun to a civilian. Apparently that makes me not have a brain, I disagree. It's a vote of conscience on my part, and you know, given the number of mass shootings we've had just in the 2 weeks since we've last met, I still say that one gun is adding a gun back into the community is something that the city doesn't need to do, isn't required to do by any ordinance or law. I thank Officer Kiefer for his service to the city, and certainly wish him well, and hope he has many good memories and other memorabilia to remember his service by. So,
thank you, Ms. Buzek. Any other discussion from members of council? I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Nay.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 6-1. Resolution 10C.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Capacity for Change for consulting services to provide a strategic plan for 2023 through 2026. Resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Wilhelm.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10D.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem, the Mayor and Controller, and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with St. Luke's Occupational Medicine to provide Department of Transportation regulated random testing. The resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Wilhelm.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. And lastly, Resolution 10E.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Bethlehem Landfill Company for the disposal of city waste. The resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Wilhelm.
Discussion? We will call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. New business before we adjourn. Ms. Kwiatek?
Thank you. I have a little story to tell. And unfortunately, Mr. Alcala isn't here tonight because it was going to be, a happy ending and a thank you to him, but I'll tell it anyway. A few weeks ago, I was contacted by a neighbor, a resident on the west side. I'm concerned about some graffiti that has been popping up in an alley near their home. And so I introduced her to the My Bethlehem app, which was something she wasn't familiar with. And everyone, watching at home or here, if you have a concern in the city, if it, one time it was a dead skunk in our alley, that was pretty fragrant. So one of the concerns this resident had, first of all, was that a concern that the graffiti could be gang related. And so I reached out to Chief Cott. She had, her gang task force type folks who, have familiarity, kind of look at the graffiti. A community officer reached out, determined that it was not, which allayed the concerns of the neighbors. So I want to obviously thank the police department for that help. And then she was very excited to use the My Bethlehem app and report this graffiti. Fast forward a couple of days, and she's contacting me to say that a neighbor who had one of the pieces of graffiti was on their garage had received a letter from the city that was very kind of scary to him, because it was a notice of violation and a lot of all caps language, and giving this person 15 days to remove it, potential fines, like pretty serious fines, and it wasn't something that I was familiar with, so I reached out. And for those who don't know, in 2016, council passed an ordinance, Article 742, the anti-graffiti ordinance, which was put forward by a former mayor. And it outlines what is unlawful, what graffiti is unlawful, but also outlines what property owners have to do with regard to removing graffiti. The city will remove the graffiti at a charge, but if you don't allow them to remove it, you are responsible for removing it within 15 days. So we all learned a lot. The thing that concerned me, though, was that the letter didn't include an estimate of how much it would cost to remove the graffiti if you had the city do it. And it really did have kind of a threatening feel to it, that for someone whose house or garage has been defaced by graffiti against their will, I mean, they're really kind of the victim in this situation. And so my concern was that we were going to discourage people from reporting graffiti, and also we were making our neighbors feel like, you know, they've been victimized, and now the city is saying you're in violation. So had a conversation with Director Alcall, and I'm very happy to report that the city is going to change its process a little bit and start with a courtesy letter that will include an estimate of what it would cost for the city to remove the graffiti. So if that's more convenient for you, you can do that. And then still have the language that you have 15 days to remove it. So you can either have the city remove it or you remove it. And after that 15 days, if it hasn't been removed, then the more serious notice of violation letter will come. So I just want to thank the city and the administration, Mr. Alcall, for being open to changing this process a little bit to make it a little more friendly to our residents who, through no fault of their own, have found that they have graffiti on their property. And so that is the end of my story, and I'm sorry that he's not here to hear his thanks, but I do appreciate the city for working with us. And you know, the anti-graffiti ordinance, you know, I looked back in the minutes, it was passed unanimously, there was no comment or debate noted in the minutes. Perhaps there had been, but it wasn't captured. But I still think that I'm going to take another look at it and see whether or not there are some things that perhaps we as council could do to amend this ordinance to make it a little less punitive towards people who, through no fault of their own, have found graffiti on their property. And I think there's a happy medium between dealing with absent owners who allow their property to be, you know, degraded over time and, you know, blighted, and folks who just find that someone has tagged their garage. So, thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Kwiatkowska. Mm-hmm. Any other new business from members of council? Ms. Wilhelm?
Ms. Collins, you referred to the meeting that took place online last week, excuse me, about the Community Recovery Fund, and I was one of the individuals on the call, and I wanted to just say that having spoken to a number of nonprofit employees, leaders who were also on the call, the feedback has been this is just an incredibly exciting opportunity for many nonprofits in the city, and having been invited into the process a bit, to appreciating your the administration's attention to creating, not only creating this opportunity, but ensuring that it is sustainable. You alluded to the fact that you've broken it into these chunks. I think it's an excellent point that you will learn from this first experience, and I certainly assume that you will take whatever you learn from this experience and apply it to future, but creating, not quite as much pressure for, in particular, a smaller nonprofit who may struggle to sort of understand the granting process, which you've also put a lot of effort into making as accessible as possible. So I just wanted to share my appreciation for that and share secondhand the appreciation that I have heard in the field for this opportunity. So thank you for that. Thank you for a great presentation.
Anything else from members of council? Mayor Reynolds, can you do a contribution?
Just two quick things. One is to follow up on what Councilwoman Wilhelm said, is we also want to thank the members of council for their feedback. I think almost everybody had a chance to come in to talk about that. And it's connected to Councilman Kwiatek's comments on Mr. Alcohol, is that, you know, we never pretend that we have all the answers. And that was a situation where Ms. Allen, our new employee there, this was like one of the first things that she has done. And the ability of council members to come in and say, hey, this is something we should try, or people might feel this way, like, it's just incredibly valuable for the product. And when we try to go out of our way to thank council members for being helpful, it's not just because it's like on my list of things I need to say, it's true. And we are just incredibly grateful for all of the work and all of the honest feedback that is given for what the administration does and how we just are constantly improving that. So I want to thank Councilwoman Wilhelm in particular, but everybody in City Council for just helping to do that work that created to that good launch last week. And then also to follow up on poor Mr. Alcohol, he had like 7 different people come with the same pictures of graffiti. And he's been here 25 years, and he could react with like, I've been doing this a long time, I know what I'm doing, but it wasn't that. And one of the times when Ms. Kwiatek and I were talking about it, as we were meeting, and he came down, and then we said, this isn't the tone that people should be, and he didn't take it sensitive, he wasn't fragile about it, he wasn't like, oh, this is the way we've done it, like, he wasn't even defensive about his department. He said, no, this just, let's go try to figure out a way to do this, and let's try to figure out a way to do it. And things are never perfect, but it's really symbolic of what we try to do. And I'm not going to tell you that every employee does that, but I'm going to tell you that it is something that we try to get across. And we have a lot of employees throughout our city that will never be in one of these meetings that react that same way when a citizen says, hey, can we do this in a different way? Like, there's no need for that to be a tone of a letter, which probably somebody didn't do maliciously or intentionally, but Ms. Kwiatek brought it up. And it was a great point, and we said absolutely. And Mr. Alcohol just reacted like, "Yeah, we gotta find a way to look at this to improve that to improve that experience, knowing that that might be the only letter somebody gets from the city." But that also wouldn't have happened without Ms. Kwiatek reaching out about that. So for that, I say thank you as well. Thank you, Mr. Clone.
Thank you. Anything else before we adjourn tonight, everyone?
President Clone, I wanted to say something.
The floor is yours, Ms. Lamb.
I just wanted to thank Lehigh for coming out and sending someone to speak on what's been going on over here on the south side. There hasn't been much communication, and it has left quite a few residents on the south side concerned, just straight outright fear sometimes, because although administrations within Lehigh change often, the community and the families that live here don't, so our memories run very deep. So not hearing from Lehigh from such a during such a time of change was just causing a lot of pain. So I'm happy that they showed up. I'm happy that they said something. I'm happy to introduce them to all of the Southside residents who would have comments about what we would like to see at St. John's. So thank you for coming out, and we look forward to working with you to make sure that we do not cause pain in our community. Thank you.
Anything else tonight? This meeting is adjourned. Get home safe, everyone.